Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Summer is the season for outdoor grilling, and the weather has in the main played ball so far, which means many of us have dusted down the barbecue, got the charcoal out, started cooking outside. And I'm joined now by journalist and avid barbecuer Pat Fitzpatrick and chef Catherine Fulvio from Ballynockan House to take us through the best ways to go about your outdoor cooking, whether you're a beginner or whether you're a seasoned pro. Pat, you're a seasoned pro, is that right?
I think you're setting me up for a fall there.
I know.
I've been doing it for a while. I have. And you know what? I'm also a cheater because I use a gas grill now, having used charcoal in the past.
Okay. Is he allowed to do that, Catherine? Is that?
Oh, we let you away with that, Pat. But you know, the great thing about the gas is that it's instant. And in Irish weather, it makes sense that you can just say, I have a bit of chicken, let's put it on the barbecue.
Yeah.
But I mean, you get great flavour from the coal.
I know. Do you find that you miss the flavour, Pat, that you get from coal?
I do. For us, Claire, do you know what it was? It was actually safety. We'd our daughter was about 18 months and we still had the coal one, and we found her one day kind of heading towards it. And we said, you just can't have, you know, it was one of these low kettle ones.
Oh, yes, yeah.
So we were, and I think you lose about 5%. You do. I was down at a friend's house the other day now, and he had a big kettle one, and we'd fish and steak on it. And you do get, it's extra juicy and you get the smokiness a little bit. But as Catherine was saying, for the convenience of it, and particularly, you know, there's nothing worse than watching the coals going white for 40 minutes and then it starts pouring. You know, at least with the thing, you can kind of look out and say, right, we've got 5 minutes between the clouds here. We can do a steak. So, Alex, you can do your dinner every day on it. And we tend to, during the summer, try and do it as much as possible. Whereas with the coals, you know, when you're working and stuff like that, it's very hard to get the dinner on that quickly. And
yeah, you have to plan the coals, don't you?
You do. You have to put a little more thought into it. Can we go back to basics now, Catherine, on this? Because my biggest fear with barbecues is that the stuff just won't be cooked through properly and you'll poison everybody in the house.
Right. So there's very easy ways around that. Think of your barbecue. If you have one with a lid, which I think are the only ones to have, think of them like your oven. So when you put the meat on, if you normally put a chicken breast in the oven for about 30 minutes, it'll be about 30 minutes on the barbecue as well.
Okay.
So that's the first thing to remember. The second thing is, and don't laugh because I bring it up every time, it's the meat thermometer.
Oh God, the one I baked. I baked one, yeah.
The one you cooked, yeah, in the oven. But the meat thermometer, so long as the coldest part of the meat is 75 degrees, you're good to go. So you can put whole joints of meat on the barbecue, the likes of leg of lamb, the likes of your whole chicken. You can do a side or canned chicken. It's absolutely gorgeous. But you just close the lid down. And the other thing to remember is with the barbecue, you have direct heat and indirect heat. The direct heat, it is exactly as it says on the tin. It's straight over the coals or straight over the gas. That's the hottest point. And then beyond that, it cools down a little bit. So if you've coloured your meat and your steak looks great and you're thinking, no, it needs a bit more cooking on the inside, or you're saying your burgers in particular, move them to the indirect heat and just let them cook that bit slower on the side.
Because if you're going to leave a chicken breast on there for 30 minutes, your heat would want to be at the right level, like a low setting, to make sure that it doesn't not crispy chicken by the end of it.
Yeah, and a lot of the barbecues nowadays have the thermostat on them anyway, so you've got a really good idea. Mind you, you kind of, it sets the heart crosses, and because they're usually about 230 degrees and you're going, no, that's not going to work. But if you brown the meat where it is the hottest and move it aside, it is not 230 degrees on the indirect heat. It's down to your 180 degrees. Okay. So treat it like a kind of gas stroke oven together.
Pat, would you do a whole chicken or a piece of roasting meat on the barbecue?
No, at that stage, you just put it in the oven, to be honest. It's more for us, it's steak, fish. Fish is brilliant because the problem with cooking fish is you kind of can't sell your house for a year after because of the smell. You know, like particularly something like mackerel, though. If we burn something like mackerel here, we can just throw it on. My sister-in-law gets us mackerel fresh from the pier in Crosshaven when our friend delivers it, and you put it on, it's amazing. You know, it's so we use it for that kind of stuff. It's more grilling than roasting.
And how do your children feel about the bones and all the bits?
In fish?
Yeah.
Do you know what we do? We do swordfish. Which is perfect for kids, and like we had swordfish last night, and it's easy. The beauty of the barbecue and something like that is it's really forgiving. You know, say for instance, if you're having a drink and you forget and you leave something there, normally it's better. If it's overcooked and the barbecue isn't that bad, do you know what I mean? unless you've left your thermostat in there, obviously. But
Catherine is shaking with fear now here beside me.
Which you can get away with. We do vegetables as well, like asparagus and peppers and things, which are easy. And, you know, the crispier the better there. So that's what I like about the barbecue. As long as, you know, as Catherine was saying, as long as you get it cooked enough.
Yes, you don't have to be too fussy. So will you talk to me a little bit, Catherine, about fish and getting it right? Because I know we have people listening will have had the fish sticking disaster happened to them at least once. Maybe that's just me.
With the fish, a great idea is to just oil it both sides. Just a light oiling. Don't over oil anything, because that's when people get scared. They put something on the barbecue and then they get that flare up. You know, if the flame's coming up and you go, oh no, this is too stressful, or it's dangerous and there's kids around and so on. So a light oiling, and that helps it. Once it has cooked, it lifts itself off automatically off the grills. But you can buy in the everywhere. You can buy these cages and you sit the fish in and you close them down. So the fish is sitting trapped both sides in a net or a cage, and you just keep turning it over and cooking the fish both sides.
And what about a bit of tinfoil?
You can do it in tinfoil, definitely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. No problem at all.
And easy flavours for fish then?
Fish takes flavour really, really well. I love herbs. I mean, you can obviously go with Chinese five spice and the likes is really nice. Be careful with your dry rubs that they don't burn if it's on too high a heat. But I go with lemon, garlic, lovely bit of oregano, kind of nice and simple extra virgin olive oil, really kind of Italian vibes. Another lovely tip is if you have a few herbs at home or a few spare herbs that you want to use up, you just tie your herbs together with a little bit of string or an elastic band or whatever. And I saw it in Italy and I think it's a great thing. And they dip it in oil and then they brush the herbs and oil over the fish rather than using a brush. Mm-hmm. So you get an essence of herbs on your fish.
Lovely.
It's really nice.
And then with the lemon, you have to be careful not to marinate it too long in the lemon, because it does cook the fish, doesn't it?
It does. Absolutely, yeah. So with the likes of fish, I wouldn't leave it sitting in a marinade for too long if there's any acid in it whatsoever, you know, maybe 10 minutes maximum.
So Pat, what did you do with the swordfish last night?
Well, had I talked to Catherine beforehand, I would have actually tied it, because we just threw a bit of garlic on it and a bit of thyme that we had, just broke it up and threw it on it, or they would have done the brushing thing. The garlic then just kind of falls off and cooks on the thing. You get a lovely smell now. It's almost like being on holidays without leaving the country. So, you know, that's simple, and just don't do anything. Did I put any lime in it? No, you don't need to. I'd oil the the actual grill bars itself is what we do, and then it won't stick too badly as long as
it's
got
the heat high. You're putting it directly onto the bars, but oil there first.
Oil the bars, yeah. Or as Catherine was saying, sometimes we oil the fish as well, but as long as the heat is high enough, it won't stick. Or, you know, if it sticks a little bit as well, so what?
Something like a nice piece of swordfish, though, or something that's so fresh, you don't really need to do very much with it.
No, less is more, definitely. Actually, yeah. A bit of tuna as well. And the beauty of it is you can freeze it. So, and like, it's not that expensive. I think what we had last night for the four of us was a tenner. You know, that amount of fish, and it was enough. It was plenty with vegetables and we made chips and stuff. But, you know.
I want to talk to you a bit about sides, actually. You've mentioned it there. Like, if you're doing your barbecue, Pat, three or four times a week, are you doing all the fancy salad-y sides, or are you doing a more traditional potato and veg dinner?
Oh yeah, we're still spuds and veg as well. Usually
I'm
going
delighted
in the background.
To hear that.
So like, you'd have to with the kids. We might have burgers some days, you know, but even that, we'd make chips in the oven or something like that. Because you with the kids, you can't just, they won't, you know, they need something starchy or else they'll be looking for biscuits straight after. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. No, we'd have veg, but like vegetable things like skewered tomatoes or halloumi cheese or else asparagus.
Well, that's fancy. You're and fancy here, Pat. You're
it's not fancy though. This is stuff. This is all available in any supermarket, and all you have to do, the beauty of it is you put it on and then you go out and you take it off, and that's as easy as it gets.
I know, that's as easy as it gets. Because sometimes we can get our heads melt a little bit, Catherine, when we think about the size, because people do lovely complicated things and they think that I'm doing a barbecue, so everything has to be just so and look like something you'd see on Instagram. Will you give us some tips on handy sides?
Yeah, I like to keep it as practical as possible with sides. You know, if you're lucky enough to be able to have friends coming round or family come round, you want to impress them. But I'm a big advocator of no food waste, and I try to use what I have. So the sides that I would use or make that are very popular would be the likes of a lovely rice salad. You can do a really nice curried rice salad using frozen peas. You've rice in the press, you've the curry powder in the press, you've stock cubes in the press. And then I add into it, like Pat was saying, a bit of asparagus, whatever I have in the fridge, some scallions, some chopped peppers and all of that. And it's absolutely lovely. And you can put feta cheese in and you can dress it up. But the nice thing is, if you manage the rice salad and don't leave it sitting out, for example, you can use the leftovers tomorrow for an egg fried rice. Mm-hmm. So try to be practical. And again, lovely potato salad. I'm a big fan of potato salad.
Oh, listen,
Scallion and bacon salad. You know, you can dress these salads up, and those new baby potatoes are absolutely gorgeous. gorgeous this time of the year.
Yeah, the problem is you can't stop eating them. That's the problem, isn't it? What about disposable barbecues? Any interest in those, Pat? If you're having a day out, have you ever used one?
Yeah, actually, there's nearly always one person waiting for a sausage because you've got one shot with those. Like, you wouldn't be doing any dinner. And if they don't, like, if you've any more than two or three people, they don't work because you don't get enough heat for long enough. Mm. I think, anyway, the ones that maybe I've just been using cheaper ones, but, like, no. And anyway, when I go to the beach, it's kind of a hassle. I kind of like eating a sandwich at the beach out of a bag, you know what I mean?
Yeah, with sand in it, it's always good.
Yeah, no, I add sand myself just in case there isn't some. But, you know, like, I'm not a great one for the disposable ones, no.
What about par cooking? Because that's a good way to get over my phobia of not cooking the food properly, Catherine. How do you feel about that, putting the meat in the oven first and then finishing it on the barbecue?
I'm all on for that. Now, I would look at particular ingredients for that, chicken drumsticks. They're the worst because they're not like even shaped.
Yeah.
The meat
yeah.
can get overcooked, begin to brown too much or blacken too much on one end and so on. And they're pink in the middle and everybody's fear is raw chicken. So I par cook them in the oven and they're just about done. And then I put a nice glaze on them or something to, you know, give that oomph of flavour.
Yes.
And finish them on the barbecue. And you laugh at this one. But I actually cook my sausages in advance. I boil the sausages. I know it's a very European thing to do, if I might say. I lived in Germany for a year. That's what they all did. But you buy your sausages from the local butcher. You know, the really nice artisan sausages. Put them in a saucepan of water. Boil them. They're fully cooked. And then you can start putting that lovely, sweet, sticky glaze on and put that on the barbecue. And oh, my goodness.
Sounds they just delicious. Take them to how long do you boil them for?
They cook in about 15, 20 minutes.
Okay.
Really quick.
Okay.
And you could have that done earlier in the day.
Yeah, it's and a real time saver as well.
Yeah.
It's a good idea. Mm. You have cookery courses running at Ballynockan for specifically a barbecue course.
I do. Ballynockan's reopening, woohoo. But I have an online cookery school and I have a very popular online barbecue downloadable course. It's doing really well, teaching the nation.
Good stuff. But Pat, you don't need it, of course.
I don't know, listening to some of this, I might actually. And I'm open to invitations as well. I go anywhere for free. Free, by the way, Catherine. Okay, free.
You're welcome anytime.
The fact that you're doing the spuds and the veg, you see, this is all important to me.
My mother made me say that.
Yeah, you have your feet on the ground, Pat. That's what we like about you. Thank you both very much indeed, Catherine Fulvio and Pat Fitzpatrick. That's about all we have time for today. Thank you very much for listening. Today's programme was produced by Barbara Feeney. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 10. Research today by Niamh Lyons. Our broadcast coordinator was Geraldine Collins. On sound was Cara O'Hare. We'll chat to you tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. It's over now to Ronan Collins.